Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again today for this beautiful day you've given to us. And we thank you, Father, for the blessings of life. And now we're fixing to open this precious book again today to hear from you. I pray the Holy Spirit of God have right away in my heart. May my life be what it should be, to have no hindrance to preaching it. And Father, may someone be blessed the day as we leave here to walk closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just a little more volume, if you will, brother. Thank you so much. Turn, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. While you're turning there, Brother Matthew told me a little joke the other day that I really like, and I want to pass it to you. Amen. This is secondhand. It's better when it's secondhand. Amen. Said that this man and his wife been married a few years. They had a lot of problems in the marriage, like most people go through problems after 10 or 12, 15 years. And they just seemed, just, you know, just normal problems. One day she was at the store, and for some reason or another, she picked up a can of peaches, and she got caught shoplifting, and so she had to go to court. She went to court, and judge asked her, Miss So-and-so, said, why did you pick up that can of peaches? She said, well, first of all, judge, I was hungry. And he said, well, I'll tell you, how many peaches you have in that can? And she said, there were six in there. He said, 6 days in jail then for those peaches. And the husband said, Your Honor, could I say something? And he said, who are you? He said, I'm her husband. Said, yeah, go right ahead. What you like to say? He said, Your Honor, I want you to know she picked up a can of peas also. I appreciate that, Matthew. Give me another one anytime you want to, son. Be fine. Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11. As we read down to verse 1, 2, and 3, you know this by heart. But it's very interesting as we look into it, because what we see, I want you to read it this time rather than just quote it, where the writer says, now faith is the subject of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You heard me say many times, subject means the reality. It's the solid, the actually quality of something. Hope is expected. So faith is the subject or the reality of things expected for. It's the evidence, that is, it's the proven confidence of things not seen. Now, notice verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a great report, a good report. Then he says, through faith we. He talked about the elders, they had a good report. And then through faith we do something. We understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now, that means that evolutionists don't understand that. But we understand. Who are the we? Those who are born again. And he said, we understand this. That is, we know that what we see, that God himself brought about. And he said, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And then he rounds it all in verse 6 and said, but without faith it's impossible to please God, please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now turn, if you will, over to Ephesians chapter 4. And let's read a verse of Scripture, down about verse 7. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, said, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Every one of us, he's speaking here again, of the born again. The child of God has been given grace according to the measure, what's that word, measure, of the gift of Christ. In other words, God gives exactly the grace that's needed that you and I need. He gives us saving grace. He gives living grace. He gives us dying grace. He gives us grace that's needed for the hour. And notice he said, it's so the measure of the life or of the gift of Christ. Now, if you will, turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Let's read verse 3 down about verse 8. In Romans chapter 12, we see first, he said, Paul said, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Now notice again, through the grace, that grace which is actually the measure of the gift of Christ. That grace, he said, that's given unto me and to every man that is among you. That born-again child of God has experienced that grace. Then he said, that person who's been born into the family of God, that person who's received the grace of God ought not to think himself any more higher than anyone else or any better than anyone else. He's to think soberly, according as God deals to every, or dealt to every man, watch this, the measure of faith. Now, we saw what faith was in Hebrews 11, such things hoped for, ever things not seen. But here he talks about a measure of faith to the individual. Then he tells us some things about that. What? Verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. Having then gifts differed according to the grace that is given to us, there it is again, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Now, we talked about faith, man measure with faith. God had dealt a measure of faith. So he's laid some ministries here, don't name them all, but he's certainly showing us that God has ministries for God's people. There's positions, there's places in this body. Notice he refers to it like a body. And there's other places, you go in 1 Corinthians 12, you find he uses the body that you and I look at every day in the mirror, that I'm looking down, you're looking at me. He's using us as an example to try to show us what the body of Christ is. And what's amazing about this is he gave us something we see every day. We use this body every day. What better example could God give us than our own body in a physical state to show us a spiritual body in a spiritual state? And he said, give it to us because we have it with us all the time. And he says, as this body functions in certain ways, then there is a spiritual body. This body functions with the motivation from the head where the brain's at. Well, the spiritual body, we are part of the spiritual body in the local church here if you're saved today. Jesus Christ is our head. Now, whether we be here or anywhere else on the earth, God's people on the face of the earth make up the local assemblies where they meet at. And Christ is the head of the church, which is the body of Christ. But he's also the local assembly, seeing that body together. And each one of us have had a measure of grace. Each one of us has also been given a measure of faith. And how we use that faith will determine whether he gives us any more measure of faith or not. And that's what Paul is telling us. He goes on and he says here, so we've been one body in Christ, everyone members of another. Notice he said, let us prophesy, the latter part of that verse, according to the prophecy of faith. Well, of course, prophecy is just type teaching. Or ministries, notice, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth, or teaching, here he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. In all these things you do with a measure of faith that God has given you if you're saved. Now, even at salvation, when the gospel is preached to this world that we are supposed to be doing and try to do every day of our life, and we get an opportunity, and then we try to take an opportunity of that, God is allowing a measure of faith to people who's not saved to be drawn to the Lamb of God. He reveals who Jesus Christ is, and that's a measure of faith. Anyone who wants to know who Jesus is, God will reveal to them who he is. As a matter of fact, the gospel is reaching into the world, trying to get attention of people to listen to that gospel message so they can be born again. But we're talking about now those who are saved. So this morning, I'm going to ask this question. What is your measure of faith? God has given us all a measure of faith. And he says, where we're at in the body of Christ, that measure of faith is needed to be exercised. And if there's something would be more than the measure we have, it would be on the basis of that one may do more or be yielded to God more than others. But every one of us in the body of Christ fill a place. There is a measure of faith there. And the body will function at its best when God's people do what they need to do in the body of Christ. Just like this body does. As we go through this, you'll see what I'm talking about. Now, the word measure means a unit of measuring something. God's Holy Spirit is to the church what our spirit is to this body. Did you know you have a spirit? We had a spirit that was right with God before the fall in Adam. It was cut off from God spiritually because God is a spirit. You and I would never have a relationship with God without understanding the spiritual side. The reason we can have a relationship with God is because we have a spirit. And that spirit has fallen until Jesus quickens it, or until God quickens it, as he born one into the family of God, and then it's been given back as a quickened state to be made alive with a new with a new birth and a divine nature that God says we have it to Peter like he has, and it's a spiritual relationship. And one day this old house is going to go back to the dust, and you and I are going to take the spirit soul and go be with the Lord if we're saved, because he's made us alive unto him to live forever. But wait a minute, you're still here. You know why? I see you. I'm still here. Now he's measured out a measure of faith. How does that work? And we're going to see that this morning. God's gift to us are our abilities from God to do his will. And Paul, being a good illustrator in the Bible, as the Holy Spirit moved upon his heart, broke things down for us so we could understand these truths. And so Paul uses membership relationship in, used body members relationship in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 and also Ephesians 4. He does this as an illustration, ladies and gentlemen, about the body of Christ, the church. And he says, I want you to understand these measures of faith given out to individual people who make up the body of Christ. Wherever God has placed you and I, and Paul tells us in the church of Corinth, he has placed us into or baptized us into the body of Christ. That is, he's merged us into that invisible body that the world cannot see except what they see in you and I who have been born again. And so he's given us this measure to look at where we're at, whatever place it is, how important it is for the body to function, just like everything you have in your body needs to work right if the body is going to function properly. If not, it gets out of discord. And so he gives us an illustration here. He uses the membership. Christ is the head of the church. The true Christian is a member of that that's been born into the family of God. Each member is designed for a certain function. It's like the physical body. Every member of your body, God designed it for a special function, to cooperate with each other. Everything in your body is made to work from the head to cooperate with the other functions of the body. And they're, even though they're different, they're made to work together. It doesn't matter if it's your eyes, it doesn't matter if it's your ears, if it doesn't matter if it's your hands, or your feet, your stomach, your heart, the liver, whatever's in your body is given to function a certain way. And when any one of those members get out of kilter, the body is hindered at that point. You can understand that. As a matter of fact, when you find somebody has a stroke in the physical body, all of a sudden, this person, the brain is still operating, but that particular part of the body is not working right. If I had a stroke on my right side, I couldn't even probably walk up here. But if I began to walk, I'd have to walk with something, and I walk like this. Now, this body is still operating, but that is hindering me. It might be that someone who's blind, they can operate, but blindness hinders that. It might be someone who's deaf, and they don't have a thing more to do with that, but that will hinder what they can do in that particular body. It might be that someone, you know, may have a something to take place as far as in the body that caused it. This last week, I heard of someone whose liver had quit working, and they had to come off the mission field because of that and almost died on the mission field. Just one little thing called the liver, and yet it disrupted the whole body. Oh, one heartbeat and you're gone. We need a heart, don't we? The measure of faith, though, is measured out. And God is saying that's how we are to his body. We are. Now, it's not that the body, in our case, the brain may do something to cause the body to do that. The hand will never say and take the feet, for instance. You know, you heard me say before, I'd say, well, you know, I'm glad it don't work that you have to tell it to do it or everything. Suppose I had to tell you, watch me. I've used my hands so many ways right now. Every way. In fact, I'm like a Greek. I can't hardly speak without my hands moving. But would it be a hard thing for me to talk without my hands moving? And yet I could do it, but it wouldn't make as much sense with my hands moving. It'd be hard for me to work up here without my feet moving. I could stand here stiff as a board, but it'd be hard. And I'll tell you, it'd be even worse if they could move and didn't want to move like I wanted to, and I'm being the head here. Feet go towards Brother Alfred. I don't want to. I'm going to go to Brother Joe this morning. I don't need to go there. I need to go over here. Hands help us out a little bit. Mouth is hungry. Hands feed it. I'm not going to do it today. No, sir. You get it yourself, and then I have to eat out of a plate like our animals have somehow or another. See, what I'm saying, God gave these things. Hear me. God gave us these things for harmony so this body could work like it should be. And he gives everyone the measures needed to do what needs to be done until something happens in turn that puts it out of kilter where it don't operate like it should. Now, I'm glad the hands and feet don't operate like we do, but he talks about us being in the body of Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're saved, when you got saved, when I got saved, God put me into his body, and so did he you. If we're not in the body of Christ this morning, we're not born again. God has promised that once we trusted Christ as Savior, he would put us into his body, and he gave us illustration by giving us a physical body to understand what's happened. So discord and death comes when each member starts to go their own way. No one person can ever win a game by themselves. No baseball team, no football team, no basketball team can win a game with just one person functioning. You'll get beat every time. Now, you may have one person on a team excel and have a little more measure than someone else, and that assists the team. There's nothing wrong with that. But you know it's because I do. You get one person on the ball team, and you're playing basketball, one person shooting all the time, they're not going to win. Because they'll cover up on that person, and the other just sit down. You play on a baseball team. There's no way you can win. If you only had one man on a baseball team playing against nine, there's no way he could ever win. Amen? You might could do it in softball if you can't hit a fast ball. I've known sometimes that where they get to, the guy could pitch a softball in her hand so fast he couldn't hardly hit it, and the team in the field just sat down. He'd strike them all out. But that's because he's excelling. He still needs that team. You know why? They might somebody hit it. And he can't run after it unless it's hit right at him in the field. So what I'm saying, we understand that. God has measured out grace, and when you have the team, and this, by the way, our body functions like a team. And the child of God functions like a team in the house of God also. So each member has a job to do to be successful. We have the privilege to serve God by faith. And he measures out faith, and he gives the faith that's needed for everyone in here. If you don't use that, your faith will be minimized, and God will pass it on to somebody else. Because he's got a plan other than just to make us something. He's already made us a child of God. His plan is what he's doing for his heavenly Father like it was when he was here. He has a plan. He has a purpose. And that's his main goal as he works through us. He'll let us exist, and he'll bless in certain ways and so forth. But there's more to it than me. And I have to look in the mirror and say, there's more to what God wants than just me. Not my building something here. God has a kingdom, and there's more to what God wants of me as I see myself in a mirror than just me. Now, I come to these two points, and we'll go home. Number one, God gives gifts for the work of the church. There are gifts of wisdom, the Bible says, of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, tongues, interpretation, discernment, helps, mercy, government, teachers, evangelists, exhortation. You find that in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9, 1 through 11. All these gifts must be used in obeying our head, the Lord Jesus Christ. All parts of our body operates taking orders from the head. My hands, my feet, my mouth. They work with the ability to function for the betterment of the physical body. When something goes wrong with the head, chaos sets in. And the motor skills go berserk because they can't do no more than what comes from the center. The only difference between you and I, God has let us be as individuals. And the head tells us what we should do, but he gives us a chance to obey. See, my hand is programmed. It has to obey what the brain says do. Until something happens to the brain. You know that? That brain, that hand will do what it tells you, whether it hit that desk or stick in a fire somewhere or another. And I've got enough sense not to do that, but I've said, if my brain said do that, and I didn't have enough sense not to do that, I'd get burnt. You see? But not with God. God says the head, through the word, tells us what to do, and then we have to make a choice whether we're going to obey and use the measure of faith, like we did when we got saved, or not. The only difference is that. And it's easy to see if you want to see it. When something goes wrong with the head, chaos sets in. So the work of the church is done by the Holy Spirit, working through the gifts of each member. When such gifts are not recognized, when such gifts are not seen, when such gifts are not done, when such gifts may be denied, then the church is set back in getting its work done. But the thing about it will never be stopped because Christ is in it. He'll raise someone else up. I could have years ago went another way into the ministry. I'm so glad now as I'm older I did. I'd he'd rather see my life where it's at and what God has done through it when I get to heaven than maybe went another way when I didn't use a measure of faith. You have a measure of faith. And that measure should be used for the maximum. You see, the Bible speaks about little faith, great faith, increased faith, trial faith. You cannot please God without faith. So we stand and we walk in this life, the scripture says, by faith. The elders did it. We see in Hebrews chapter 11. And also, we ourselves do it in our day. Now, think what it would be like if certain parts of the body did not work their best. It would hinder what you and I can do. It would hinder the function of the physical body. To not recognize this, to be thrown back into humanism when it comes to spiritual things. God does not need our talent. God doesn't need our psychology. God doesn't need our business method for political techniques for His church. But we do need the Holy Spirit of God. And while life leaves our human body, when life leaves our human body, the only thing that's remained of a man is it's called a corpse, worth nothing. It still has that outside features, but it has no life. And that's the reason God has shown us about a child of God compared to a body. A body laying in a corpse in a casket has a feature it had before, but it has no life. And with a period of time with no life, the feature goes back to the dust. That's fact. We can't see, we can't deny that. You may deny everything else, but you can't deny that. And I can't either. So here I find that here unbelief says some things, but not now. Unbelief said some other time, but not now. Unbelief said some other people, but not us. Unbelief said some other place, but not here. God is looking for people who have the talent, God is not looking, I get right, to some people who have talent or prestige or wealth. He's looking for saved, loving, humble, clean, dedicated people who will obey Him in using the measure of faith that God has given them. Amen. And He talks about that. Everything you do is by a measure of faith, because you won't know how to do it without that. To do it without faith is impossible. Please God, try to please God anyway without faith. And He says it's impossible to do that. Do I believe God? Just as much so as I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Because God said both statements. And that's reality to me, not some fictitious thing. It's a reality, and it should be to all of us in this particular life. So faith says God will do anything today that He has done in the past within His Word. And He uses people who walk by faith and uses the measure of faith that He gives them after they become a child of God. Now, what about absolute truth then? If we're going to walk by faith, we need to walk in absolute truth. God has sent the Holy Spirit as our comforter. He moved into us when we got saved. You know, a lot of folks, that's one of the things about the world. The world don't understand the Holy Spirit. And they talk about believing in God and have no signs of believing in God whatsoever. It's only a figure of imagination. Because you see, when you believe in God and you truly get saved, God gives you His Holy Spirit. And brother, you tell me, you had to be, that's one of the things today about people talking about this unquestionable grace. Is the fact that they think they can trust the Lord and that handles everything. Listen, used to be when people wouldn't trust the Lord until there was old-fashioned preaching of hellfire and brimstone and they were convicted of their sin. And then they came to Christ to be forgiven, realizing there's something wrong. But now people getting saved, I don't think anything's wrong to start with. They just don't. They live their life. And just in case they might need a ticket to go to heaven, then they say they trust Christ up front, and that takes care of everything else, and they just look like they want to live. You can't find that in the Bible. That's the thing of our age. I want you to start reading news about the evaluation of Christianity in our day, and you're going to see, ladies and gentlemen, there's no way like it was 30, 40, 50, 100 years ago. I'm reading things all the time, and they're running all kinds of analysis and surveys, and they're finding out the old-time Christian methods are gone just about, except the nucleus in this country and some places around the world. And that's the reason for that. You know why? We're in the last days. If you believe in the last days, it's got to happen. Because God tells us that. And so here, what about this truth? God does not care about limitations of locality. He doesn't care about geography or time or nationalities. Most people look at truth as a memorizing code for intellectual truth. In other words, what to say? Simple things. And I use simple things because I'm a simple person. 2 + 2 = 4. Now, I learned that by memorization. This is what we're talking about. You memorize a code, and that code gives you the right answer. And therefore, you memorize it. 3 × 3 = 9. That's a memorization of a code that gives me an answer. People look at religion that way or look at Christ that way. No, it is not a memorization of the mind. It's a believing from the heart. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With a mouth, confession made of salvation. And so here, it is not a code like you have in arithmetic or in science or other things. It is a message from heaven by God through His Word, by His Spirit, through His messenger, that Jesus Christ is come to save those who are sinners. And He declares all of us sinners, and therefore we need to be born again. That means all of us. And so the new birth is more than just some type of memorization code at all in their life. So divine truth is reduced to the stature of a memorizing a code somehow or another. Hey, you may know that Jesus saves. Hear this. Not say you, but anybody can know that Jesus saves. But has He saved them? The mental aspect says, no, Jesus saved. But the reality is, the divine truth is, has He ever saved me? Now, that's a different thing, isn't it? Thank God. God sent His Son to save the world. Amen. That's good revelation. But revelation is not enough. It's enough to let us know that we need something, but it's got to have more than that. You're going to have some illumination of what salvation is. And that's the thing we're going to look at this time. Jesus taught beyond and beneath their standard in His day. In Matthew chapter 21, chapter 1 and verse 21-22, Mark. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 21-22, here's what they said about Jesus Christ. In verse 21, it said, they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, He entered into the synagogue and taught, and they were astonished at His doctrine, for He taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Jesus taught in a way, they said, this man don't teach like our religious leaders teach. He teaches with authority. When you live by the word of truth, you're living in that truth. Jesus was not just a rabbi that was teaching doctrine that you can memorize and repeat to sound religiously. Jesus said this in John 14:9, He that hath seen the Father hath seen me, or he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. What Jesus was saying this, what I see the Father do, that's what I do. He's saying, what I hear the Father speak, that's what I speak. What I hear, what I've seen yonder, He said, I'm telling you about it in the here and now. This thing is more than a code. It's a life. And I give it to you if you believe on me. Now, revelation as a code is not enough. Revelation says it's something not known, but now it's been revealed. You just have revelation. A person may be revealed that they're lost, but that won't get them saved until the illumination comes and they say, hey, there's more to it than this. I need to know how to get saved. And illumination, ladies and gentlemen, there must be illumination before revelation can become a part of your soul. Illumination brings a moving spiritual experience. Revelation by God is the ground which we stand on, but illumination is to enlighten our mind and our spirit with the special knowledge about why and how I stand and who and am I supposed to be standing on, myself? Or is there someone invisible that God says, I'll give you the power? Illumination will tell you that. God will reveal it to us. Illumination tells us what to believe. It tells us that God, this is God's word. Yes, we have revelation. The Bible tells us that. If you look in Ephesians chapter 3, we see that. He says down in verse 3, he says, Paul says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I've known unto a mystery that I wrote in a few words. In verse 9, he said, and to make all men see that that is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God who created all things by Jesus. Why? To the intent that now unto the principalities and the powers in heaven places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The fact that He shows revelation, we need to be saved. He says you need to go more to find out how in Jesus Christ God did this to get us to the point to be saved. A measure of faith is given out, and in that way we come to know Jesus as saved. That's illumination. Simple that. There is must be illumination for the inward experience. Matthew 13, Jesus talked about teaching in parables. And the disciples said, why do you teach parables? He said, it's for you to know and not others. And He gave that thing about sowing of the seed. I wish I had time to go there. Don't have that time to finish this message. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. This is not make-believe, Paul said. He said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither in the heart of man what God has restored upon him. And he began to show how the Spirit of God did for you and I in this life after we trust Christ as Savior. man, that's just something that ought to be read by every child of God a number of times. He said in verse 10, but God has revealed them to us by His Spirit that searches all things, the deep things of God. He said, what man knoweth the things of man, said the spirit of man. Even so, the things of God know no man but the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God that brings illumination that you might know Jesus Christ. Not just know of Him or about Him, but you might know Him. And if you know Him, that same measure of grace, faithfully given, that you may serve Him. And serving Him is not just being idle, it's doing something for Him. Because God has measured a measure of faith to all of us. And if I don't exercise that faith, God will set me aside just like He did the nation of Israel. And He'll bring somebody else who will measure their side, measure of faith. God said He measured it out. Isn't it interesting? It is to me. Now, He said, we receive not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. We might know the things that God freely given us. Which things also we speak, He said, not in the words of man's wisdom. He said, how the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual things. Then He tells us, and ends up, you heard say before, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolish unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. He may know about the revelation, but it's foolish. You go to a person and say, listen, God wants you saved. Saved from what? Well, God has determined that the only way we get out of this world to be born into the family of God, and that's what salvation is. He may know the revelation of being saved, but he doesn't. It's foolish to him, so therefore the illumination doesn't come. He don't give him the sure facts about what God is doing, even though you can't see Him. See, God illuminates to our heart the things of reality, just like the flesh illuminates in our heart the things of this world. The reality of the spiritual world you can't see. Things you have in your hand here you can't see, and you put measure on that based on what we do. God said there's something very more important than the physical world, and therefore we asked ourselves, what is our measure of faith? Your faith may try to stand in a text, and be dead as a doorknob. Revelation can only give us information, but God's illuminations will open our hearts to be enlightened. It takes believing for God to illuminate our hearts. He will not coerce us, but He will give us the choice to be saved, to serve, whatever it is, that He measures that measure of faith to us. Jesus Christ is more than a convenience. He's more than a lifeboat to heaven. He's more than a guide to find when we are lost here in this life. These things are good, but reduce God to some kind of big friend, just helping us when we get in trouble. And by the way, that's the way a lot of people look at it. God is just something to run to when I get in trouble. Ladies and gentlemen, no, He's not. He's a God to serve. So we don't have to run to Him when we get in trouble. We just know He's always there. What a wonderful thing to see that. And God gives us that in a measure of faith. This to look at Him as a big friend, how another, is not biblical Christianity. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, Jesus Christ is Lord of our lives. He claims that over and over in the Scripture to those who are saved. He becomes Lord when we trust Him as Savior. God wants to be Lord of our lives. God will reveal. You need to be saved. Illumination is how? God will reveal once you're saved, you need to make me Lord of your life. That's a revelation. But how? You see, revelation is God wants to be Lord of our life. Illumination is He is Lord of our life. Because we understand that equation. Are you understanding what I'm saying? God help me, please, because this can revolutionize your life and my life, even now, though I've seen this many years ago. God says He wants to be Lord, but on the other hand, when he has the measure of faith being exercised, He illuminates the heart to know what that Lord is, and He becomes actual Lord. Before God's Word means anything inside of me, there must be an obedience to it. And this brings illumination. Because obedience, God said in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, obedience is better than even sacrifice. And so truth will not impart life to a person who will not obey the light given him. A man will never be saved unless he obeys the light that's given him. And what is that light? The gospel of Jesus Christ. How does that come? From heaven, through God's word, by His Spirit, through God's people, telling someone about salvation. John 3, Jesus said you must be born again. That's light to this world. And until someone obeys that, they'll never have that light. Truth of God will not give itself to a rebel. It's not going to be used. And even as a child of God refuses to use that truth, He'll not give it to them because they refuse to use it. When you find yourself, hey, you wouldn't have someone work for you refuse to work, would you? I wouldn't. I always looked at that always hard if I was me. The fact is, if I work for a person, I better do all I can because I'm working for him. He's not working for me. You know what happens when you get a person don't work? Amen. If you don't, try it. That's the best way to experience, isn't it? We live in an age today that is really amazing. So this is where illumination helps us. God illuminates our spirit inwardly, which enlightens the individual spiritually. And ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Listen closely. This is life eternal. This is God's divine life, Peter tells us. It's not just some Mickey Mouse stuff. It's something that comes in, and it will revolutionize us in this life. When Jesus is received as Savior, we get God's life. What is our measure of faith? Are we using it for the glory of God? May I read to you Jude, the last verse, maybe next to last. Beloved, when I, in verse 3, that's only one chapter. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, that's Revelation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. He said, not only did you hear about it, but once you get it, you are to assert it, to strive, to give it, to hold it forth to the public, to be a fact before people. It is to contend for the faith. And I want you to notice something. We are to contend for the faith, but this is not just for trained theologians. This is not just for trained professionals. He's writing it to the individual Christian. And you can't, God help me, you can't contend for the faith unless you know what the content is. And you can't get it without this book. And that's where the measure of faith comes in. And you'll find the longer you serve God in using obedience to that faith, the more God gives. That's when you hear me tell the things that God has helped me, things I've studied years ago in pockets. He's let me time together now the amazing thing to see the hand of God more so than ever. But I never seen that if I was back where I was 50 years ago. I'd just be moving along knowing I need to do what I need to do and try my best to find the place that God would have me be at the most. And what I'm saying to you, revelation, we have that, but you've got to have illumination to understand where revelation is leading you. And the book of Revelation, of course, is that illumination of the end of the age. I don't mind criticism for preaching this truth. I don't like it. But been many times I know I preach the truth, and I'd be criticized for it. By the way, it'll get back. Satan loves to get back to someone. If you teach Christ to do anything for the Lord, you're going to be criticized from somebody who don't understand it. And the best thing in the world to know, if you preach the truth, then God's satisfied. And that's the only one we're trying to satisfy. But it better be in line of the truth. I don't mind criticism for preaching this truth. But what about being criticized for not believing it? That's different. God forbid that I'd be criticized for not believing it. Because you know whether I believe it or not, and I know where you believe it or not. Where the world believes it or not. The world don't believe it, but there are those in the world who do. And they're God's children. Don't let Satan convince you that you are your own person. I hear people say, one of the biggest things I've seen today, and tonight we're bringing this out in the study, one of the biggest things I see today that most people nowadays are turning to self. And they're talking about being religious. No, sir, I don't believe I'm my own self. God accept me like I am. I hear it all the time. And so the religious trends are changing, and a new trend is coming in where people are coming into the world. They're saying, I don't really need the God that religion talks about because I am my own self. I know who I am. But see, I may know who I am, but I better let God show me who I am. And that's the reason they're hushing the word of God. They're hushing the gospel. They're hushing and they're replacing it with grace up front to get saved. And then it don't have. See, before it was you knew you were a sinner because God had convicted your heart. You fell on the altar and cried out for God to save you. And then you were saved. Grace was applied after you knew you were lost. Now grace has been applied up front like Arminians that everybody's going saved anyhow. So it don't really matter. It does matter. It does matter. And I see this. So don't let Satan convince us that we're our own person. If we're saved, we've been bought with a price. And may I remind you, as I talk about what is your measure of faith, Lord God has really let me go over this from my own life in 1 Corinthians, because I know that a lot of folks, I'm trying to do a lot of things for the Lord, but I want to tell you what, there's so much that can be done. And one of the factors is go where God let me preach, and and give what little bit of knowledge that I have, and he's been done that. I think I preached 7 times in the last 2 weeks. And I just thank the Lord for that. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, the Apostle Paul makes this statement. And I'll close with this thought. Believe me, I'm closing. What is our measure of faith? Here's what he said. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of God? Now, he's speaking to the child of God. He's speaking to us. You see, if you're saved this morning, Paul's speaking to us. If you're born again, Paul's speaking to us. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Notice where the Holy Ghost is. He's not outside in front. He's in us. Didn't he not say that? Does your Bible not say that? If it don't say that, you got the wrong Bible. Does it not say that? Of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own. That's where I got to start at. Why should I listen to God? Because I'm not my own. And Lord, you don't come to me and talk to me verbally. That means I've got to stay in this book. And I've got to be sure I keep it in context. And then he says this. Why am I not my own? You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Watch, which are God. I'm his. You're his if you're saved. If you're born again, you're his. He has bought and paid for us, and therefore he has a right to measure his faith and ask us to use that faith. And in that body, if we, just like on a ball team, everybody may have equal time playing and equal ability. But if one exceeds above another, then that person is noted for what they've done and therefore may give more time to play than others because that help wins the game. What we're saying, though, is that when we do what we ought to do in the body of Christ and we obey and we yield and we submit to him and we use the measure of faith that God has given us, understanding what he's called us to do because I'm part of the body of Christ, Paul went to say the least one in the body of Christ is important. It doesn't matter the least person. It's just as important as the most advanced one. I mean, you look inside, there's some things that probably, you know, your gallbladder. You can live without it, but it's important. Probably consider the most least important thing at all until you start acting up. Then you're glad to get rid of it, aren't you? Amen. I've done that, but I've done other things. What I'm saying, that they're least important, but they are important until they dysfunction. Well, the thing about God is that one is measured faith, but if one obeys that faith, he will make that rise higher. He'll have him excel to become something that's beyond where he's at or she's at because they simply use the faith and obey God. And that's what these scriptures are telling us. If you're saved, we've been bought with a price, we're not our own. God, help me use the measure of faith, all of my weakness. I don't understand why God uses us because all of us are fickle. We'll make a decision for ourselves quicker we will for God any day, just what circumstances are. Don't you know God must get, if he ever gets discouraged, probably gets discouraged more of his people than he does the world, because he knows the world is going to go a certain way. I ask myself these questions. God knows the world where it's headed. He's going to destroy it one day. But his own people, did you know his dealing with Israel through the years, that he showed his heart was touched, and yet he still loved them. He loves us, the church. Don't you know it must grieve? By the way, the Holy Spirit can be grieved. In fact, we're told to grieve not the Holy Spirit. And if he's not, believe it is. So what am I saying? God, that measure of faith you've given us, dear Lord, help us give it back to you in actions and obedience. And then when you see fit one here and there who is really going the extra mile, you excel that person more faith. And more faith. The world laugh and ridicule, even condemn, even sometimes try to destroy like did the saints of old. But God sees it. And there comes a time when that day comes, like God gives us with Saul, though he was of the world before he got saved. He saw Stephen stone. Jesus saw Stephen look towards heaven. I love these things. And he drew his last breath. Why? Because he did nothing but obey God about what he was teaching in that book of Acts. And he looked towards heaven, and he saw Jesus standing, looking over, And when he said that, the people ran, gnashing their teeth upon him and killed him. They didn't want to hear anything about that land. They had hatred in their heart because he was using a measure of faith that God had given him for God's glory. Stand to our feet, please. Father, thank you, Lord. I know we live in an age today that messages that in turn has to do to help us spiritually are not necessary, wanted in our society. But Lord, these are things that God said. They're so precise, just like John 3:16. Just like to as many as receive me, give power to come sons of God. Lord, it's just as important as we add it to the condition of the scriptures to use our measure of faith. Help someone see the day that if they're not saved, listen here by the radio or by stream, up you stream, Lord, if they're not saved, God has given revelation this morning that they need to be saved. But he'll not coerce them. He'll not force them. He'll lay it out on the platter for them to receive, and all they have to do is let the illumination that God wants to give to them, to give them the necessary faith to strengthen, to believe God, what he said is true and not a lie. And we are saved. Lord, please help us as we walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. If we walk by sight, we're walking the wrong way. We'll walk by faith. How is that faith going to be strengthened? Through this precious book as the Holy Spirit reveals to us where we're at in the body of Christ. Lord, God blesses some people in a lot of ways. He blessed some people with knowledge that I don't have. I wish I did. He blesses some people with help that I don't have. Lord, he blesses some people with riches I don't have. In turn, they use that for the glory of God. We heard many times about Brother Anson years ago, how God blessed him, how they invested time in doing things for the Lord in colleges and things like that to help get the message out. Lord, there's so many ways that you use our talent as we use our measure of faith. Please help us just be doing it. And Lord, I preach this message, so I'm going to give an account more than anybody else. So I spent weeks in this message. And Lord, I'll give account to you if I don't use that measure of faith that you give me. And I know that. So I could be the one who'd be guilty the most if I don't perform it like I should. Anyone here? Because you've used me to teach the message that you've really shown me in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.